This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, Brad Thomas of NBC Sports, BetUS will join us. We'll do a little NBA All-Star Weekend, a little trade deadline recap, maybe get his thoughts on some futures, some sleepers, just big picture thoughts in the NBA, maybe look ahead to the NFL a little bit too, just because I do think it's interesting when you're talking about an offseason with big name quarterbacks on the move or potentially on the move with Stafford and Rodgers. Even those guys are past their prime, especially obviously Rodgers. It's a game of musical chairs, Cousins and Darnold. Not that those guys are on the same level as the first two, but it does make it interesting when you have a lot of these quarterbacks in flux and a lot of teams looking at new quarterbacks. So we'll talk to Brad about that. Anything else that's on his mind, and just going to do a little bit of a mixed bag here to start is it's kind of the dog days. We're past the Super Bowl, not quite at the NCAA tournament. And boy, if you can get by NBA All-Star Weekend, you can kind of get by anything, because to me, there's been nothing in the last 20, 30 years that I can think of that has fallen off more from what the NBA All-Star game used to be compared to what it is today. It used to just be, first of all, the guys would play hard and just play a normal basketball game. And you can think of like Magic Johnson guarding Jordan and Kobe guarding Jordan and them guarding each other. And the guys actually playing the game. And it used to just be the East versus the West. You would turn the game on. You would know who's on what team. It was a straight up format and they would play a basketball game. Now it's just this ridiculous thing where they have this 4-team tournament. Now it's Team Shaq, Team Chuck, Team Kenny, and Team Candace. I don't even know who's on what team. And throw in the fact that the dunk contest just has completely lost its luster with the lack of star power. It used to be in Jordan and Dominique and Kobe. It used to have big names. LeBron's famously never done it, but you get at least stars, borderline stars. Now it is Mac McClung, a couple of UConn kids, which is interesting. Andre Jackson and Castle, and then Bucellis. So, I mean, it is really just not what it used to be, this whole All-Star Weekend. I guess if you're going to watch anything, and the game itself has been just become a joke, and they could try to do any format they want. If it's just going to be 2 hours of a layup line and it's going to be, you know, 340 points scored or whatever it was last year, it's not worth watching. That's the biggest thing. If you're going to watch one thing, I guess you could watch the three-point contest because it's a legitimate competition. But even that, I mean, you're all wrapped up in Lillard and Darius Garland and Brunson and these guys. Not really. I guess if you put money on it, you're wrapped up in it. But other than that, you know, it doesn't get you too excited. But again, if you're going to watch any of the three between the All-Star game, the dunk contest, the three-point is at least they're trying. Not that they're not trying the dunk contest, but there's at least some blend of it's a real competition and some guys you've heard of. So if I was going to watch anything, I can't watch this celebrity game on the Friday night. The All-Star game itself has become a joke. And not just when you have to like study who's on what team or catch up on who's on what team, it makes it just not as fun for the viewer. They should go back to East versus West. I know there's no way to get these guys to play harder, play better. They've talked about incentivizing with money. That would be such a turn off to fans. I don't know if you can incentivize them with money. If they're not going to care, they're not going to care. It's part of the Adam Silver regime here of just kind of letting the players do what they want, not do what they don't want to do. And it goes back to load management. It really does hurt the NBA overall in this, every year it seems to get worse. I'm sure Monday people will be, oh man, the All-Star game's terrible. Yeah, the All-Star game has been terrible for a long, long time, and I would not expect it to be any better this year. So we'll talk to Brad, see if he has any. I mean, you could bet on this stuff. You could bet on All-Star game MVP. You could bet on who wins the three-point shootout, who wins the dunk contest. So if we could find a winner, we'll see if Brad has anything there. If not, we'll just get his thoughts on futures. Are we looking at just a collision course between OKC and Boston? That kind of thing. We'll talk to Brad about all that. Quickly before we get to Brad, I'll do a little baseball, and I will touch on the football just because it is official. Rodgers not going back to the Jets. Bregman signs with the Red Sox, 3 for $120, $40 a year. There's some opt-outs in there. And look, as a Yankee fan, I hate to admit this, but -120 to make the playoffs, the DraftKings, to me, that is a very good bet. I don't think there are five better teams in the American League. You add Crochet, you add Bregman, of course, a hell of a manager. They were in the mix, not that, you know, they kind of fell apart the last month, but they were right there with Boston, and not right there, but in shouting distance between Baltimore and the Yankees last year, and you're going to add Crochet. We'll see if he could stay healthy. That's always a question with these pitchers, but they do more with less. The pitching coach did a good job of getting a lot of production out of the pitchers, out of their pitching staff, between Houck and some of these younger guys getting spin on the ball. He's well regarded. Just the entire staff here for the Red Sox. So to me, 86.5 plus 425 for the division, 25-1 to win the whole thing. What's the best out of those three? I think to make the playoffs, -120 is the best thing. And if you have a team that you think can make the playoffs and get them 25-1, I know there's extra rounds to go through now, but maybe you take one bet and you divide it, you know, halfway or three ways between all of the above, make the playoffs, the division, win it all. I guess they could win the division. Now, Yankees have good pitching, but they do lose Soto. Orioles are going to be a good day in, day out team, but they lost Burns. They don't have great pitching, although their pitching was all beat up last year. You figure they'd be a little healthier this year. I think I could see it being a good three team race, but I feel like plus 425 is not a bad number. And I think they'll be right in the mat. You know what? I couldn't argue if you took plus 425. I do think the Yankees, one injury to Judge, who knows? That's who knows what you're going to get out of Goldschmidt? Who knows what you're going to get out of Bellinger? There's enough uncertainty there. I know their pitching's better. Their bullpen's outstanding, but they're not invincible. The Orioles have some questions, like I mentioned. So plus 425 to win a division, I actually don't think is that bad. And if you want to shoot for the stars and get them, you know, 25-1 to win the whole thing, or shop around, it's at least the first number I saw. I didn't see any better numbers. Not that I have a ton of options here in Connecticut, but not bad. The Red Sox should be good. Red Sox should be a playoff team. You know, 88, 89 wins, over by a few wins. I think that's certainly within the realm of possibility. I don't love the contract, but in terms of this year, the contract doesn't matter. The money doesn't matter to this year. And he's going to play well in that ballpark. He's a winning player. I know some of the stats have fallen off in terms of the contact, things like that, hard hit rate. There's some concerning underlying metrics, but you're going to put him in that ballpark, the short, the green monster that's a short way away in left field. He can just kind of hook the ball and bang it off the monster, over the monster. He's going to hit a bunch of doubles, a bunch of homers. He's a winning player. The big stage isn't going to bother him. I think that's a good move. It's an overpay. It's certainly an overpay. I was shocked, absolutely shocked he got that much money. But I do think it's they're better with Bregman than they were without him. And you could say they overpaid, which they did, but that's a move that's going to make their team better. So taking a shot on the Red Sox in terms of futures is not something that I would argue with. I do think that's a good move. And the last one before we get to Brad here, these quarterbacks, you look at, it sounds like Stafford's going to have a new team. I would not. Well, if I'm the Giants, I know you're looking for something, anything to have some sort of stability, some sort of credibility at quarterback. Stafford at his age, with his, I don't even say limitations, but you're going to put him behind a shaky offensive line in New York where it's windy, there's bad weather. Not, I mean, he's got neighbors, he's got, I don't say he has no weapons, but that's not a great situation. And you go from McVay to, not that Dable's bad, but I don't like that fit. I don't like that situation for Stafford. I get the appeal of just, hey, let's be respectable. Let's see if we can win 9 games and just not be an embarrassment. And if you're Dable and some of these guys, you just want to not get fired. There's the self-preservation aspect of that. I would not go that route if I'm the Giants. I don't know if there's a perfect solution out there. And if you don't love these quarterbacks in the draft, then I don't know what to tell you. But I do think that would be a bad fit for all parties, especially for Stafford, man. I would not want any party going to the Giants. I don't think that's a good fit at all. Rodgers not coming back to the Jets. What a disaster these 2 years were. I thought it would work. I thought it would work much better than it did, which was not at all. And you could say if coaching and the defense wasn't good this year, which it was, and he was supposed to come in and only be a game manager for an elite defense. And if they were an elite defense, maybe it looks differently. They lost some close games. All of that is true, but all in all, an absolute disaster. Not a move you can kill him for. With the rest of the team they had, how bad they've been at quarterback the years before, to say, you know what, let's get an established commodity in Rodgers and let's take a shot at it. I can't kill him for the move. It's just sometimes things don't work out. It didn't work out. I don't know where he goes for a team, because there's some personality things with Rodgers. There's the attention he brings. There's, you know, he's going to want to bring his little crew of Lazard and all these washed up guys, Cobb and all these guys, which if you're going to bring him onto your team, you have to absolutely draw the line in the sand. Absolutely not happening. You're not bringing, we're going to run the team. Thanks a lot for your thoughts, your contributions in terms of the front office, but we are going to bring in, we're going to decide who you're playing with. You're not bringing in, you know, this parade of, you know, washed up ex-teammates, ex-Packers. You're not doing that. That's not happening anymore. Would the Steelers make sense? Just because you got a defense, maybe you can add another playmaker around them with Pickens. I mean, it's so tough once you get into this rut of not having a quarterback. You go into, you know, the Wilsons of the world and the guys they've had in the past. And if your goal is to win a Super Bowl, I don't know who you're going for. I don't know who actually makes you a legitimate Super Bowl contender. But if you look at it and like, hey, if I bring him in, can he be 60, 70% of what he was 3 or 4 years ago when he was still good? Coach him up, have a good defense. I'd ideally like him somewhere indoors, just because at his age, I don't want him throwing in bad weather. These older quarterbacks in bad weather, once it starts to get to November, December, and he was okay the first half of the year, the second half of the year is just a disaster. They can't play in cold weather. They don't, you know, don't throw the ball deep enough anymore. Don't throw the ball hard enough. He doesn't move as well as he used to. So I think it's very possible he doesn't get a team. If I were to pick anybody, I guess I'd say Pittsburgh. You know, you're going to bring him into Cleveland, or you're going to bring him into Tennessee. All it takes is one, but I think this, you know, the possibility that Rodgers doesn't have a suitor, that all of these teams collectively say no thanks, thanks but no thanks, I think that is very much on the table, just because everything Rodgers brings with him, off the field stuff, not that he's a bad guy off the field, but he's a strange personality, divisive, brings a lot of attention, and is the juice worth the squeeze at this point of his career? I'm not sure it is, so... I'm not positive Rodgers plays in the league, and I don't know that, you know, what you're getting from him at this point. Maybe somebody, and probably same thing with Cousins, maybe somebody drafts a quarterback and uses Rodgers for a year, Cousins for a year. But the more you see it with these teams, they're just, they draft these quarterbacks and throw them right into the fire. The Jaden Daniels, all the quarterbacks from this year, for the most part, Penix didn't play till late, but you only got so long with the rookie deal. They're cheap, they're young, and let them just go play. So I know there's odds out there for Rodgers' next team. I don't know if there's a number on him to not play next year. That would be, that's interesting. Is he a favorite to play or not play next year? That would be really interesting. I think it's 50-50 at best that Rodgers even plays next year. And again, all it takes is one. I admit that. And he's still Aaron Rodgers. And teams can say, well, he was hurt 1 year. And then this year, everything went wrong around him. He's still Aaron Rodgers. We can get something out of him. I don't know. I don't think it would be Minnesota. Although, I mean, that's obviously the best fit for him, just because you have Jefferson and Addison and you're indoors and you have a good play caller and you have a good defense and he wouldn't have to do that much. That's the perfect spot. I just don't know that Minnesota would go down that route. They seem to be very forward-thinking. They drafted McCarthy 10th. They traded up to draft McCarthy. You already have one loss year with McCarthy. You're going to go in a situation where you're heading into year three with McCarthy where you don't know if he's any good. You haven't seen him play. I don't think they would go that route. So, you start to, as you're going to go to the Saints, you start to just add up these teams out of these possibilities. I don't know where Rodgers lands. So, man, it should be a fun offseason. Anytime you have a bunch of these quarterbacks, big name quarterbacks, whether they're past their prime or not, Russell Wilson and Darnold and, you know, Rodgers and Stafford and Cousins, it does at least lend itself to some interest going forward. So, we'll talk to Brad Thomas about all of this. We'll get his thoughts, NBA All-Star Weekend, futures, see what else he's got on his mind. That is next. This Should Have Been More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Been More podcast. You can catch him NBC Sports, BetUS TV. It's our old buddy, the great Brad Thomas. Brad, what's up, man? Post-football blues for you. How are you coping with the end of football season?
You know, as a lover of football and a fan, I'm sad, right? Like, it's the end of the season. There's no better feeling than, you know, getting ready for those primetime games, watching your team play, handicapping it. But as a sports bettor and someone who does this and covers football for a living, I'm kind of glad for the break. You know, obviously I'm going to be preparing my offseason stuff, but it's a little bit of a breather, right? Focus the attention back on golf, college basketball and NBA. So it's funny because I'm a little like rusty in college basketball. I watch it, but nowhere near to the capacity where I'm ready to handicap it. But football being over is a nice little breather.
The return to college basketball, and I've been watching more and more the past couple weeks, I'm sure like a lot of people, the reviews are nonstop. It's such a great game. The excitement of college. I love college basketball, and you know, March Madness is, if it's not my favorite time of the year, it's right there. Conference tournaments, NCAA tournaments, there's so many games. They got to clean it up. We review everything, every tenth of a second, every possible possession. It kills the end of these games. It's terrible.
Yeah, it's horrible. What's funny is like, I'm excited for these because there's a lot of teams that have like older seniors and those make for good playoff runs. Like those senior led teams. I feel like there's a lot of teams that could win this year.
Yeah, absolutely. NBA, is this a collision course between the Thunder or the Celtics? I guess I'll ask it this way. A Thunder-Celtics final, is it possible? Is it likely or is it inevitable?
I think it's inevitable, right? Like, if both these teams can remain healthy, who's going to beat them over a seven-game series? Like, sure, the Cavs are having a great season, but the Celtics are deep. They have everything that you want: length, size, scoring, leadership, experience. Then the Thunder, it's another team that, while they don't have the experience per se, they have the scoring, the defense, and I think they're learning how to play as leaders, as champions, right? And what I mean by that is sometimes these elite teams, and I'm gonna call them an elite team, you know, they're top three in both offense and defensive efficiency, right? Top three in field goal percentage, true field goal percentage, and all that. Sometimes when they are these big favorites, they get complacent, right? Like that's what happens with other teams. But it doesn't really happen with the Thunder. Thunder are one of the best teams at covering the spread as double-digit favorites, which is insane because it feels like they're double-digit favorites every night.
Absolutely. If you're going to pick one team, either team to get picked off, like who is most likely to get upset before the finals, Celtics or Thunder?
Thunder. I think the Thunder are still very much led by SGA. While he's going to probably be the MVP, if you can find a way to quiet him and put the make the ball go through Jalen Williams, I think it's an entirely different scenario than the Celtics. Like if you take away Jason Tatum, they have Jaylen Brown. Porzingis can stay healthy. He's a killer. And then I really do appreciate the depth of the Celtics. The Celtics, I actually think Mazzulla has done a good job, and he's done this as a coach, is he gets his role players quality in-game minutes. Like they're really deep, but their role players play a ton. So I think the Thunder will probably be most likely to get picked up. I just can't imagine the Celtics losing a five-game series. I also couldn't imagine anybody in the East really doing that. Maybe the Cavs, but yeah, I got to have to go. The Thunder will probably be the most likely to get picked off.
The only thing is I just don't see who's picking off OKC. I don't think the Lakers have enough size and defense. I know they're the hot team now because they got LeBron. Is it the Rockets, the Grizzlies? Those teams don't seem there. I don't know that Denver has enough about Jokic. So I don't know. You tell me, if you're picking one team to pick them off, what do you think it is? Who's the most likely team to pick them off?
I'm going with the Nuggets. The Nuggets have the ultimate equalizer and the home court advantage, probably the best home court in the NBA. Oh, if they could steal one, then it just feels like you're kind of up against the eight ball having to play those games in Denver behind, you know?
Which is why it was so weird last year. Did the road team, I think the road team went 5-2 in that Minnesota series.
Yeah.
And I still can't believe Denver. I was getting ready to record the podcast that Sunday night. They're up 20 in the second half, and I texted my guests. I was like, we could probably just start recording early. Denver's, you know, obviously going to win the game. And then they just stopped scoring, and Minnesota not only won, but won comfortably. It kind of killed the rest of the playoffs too, because Minnesota Dallas was okay, but I don't know. I thought a Denver Boston final, sort of like we are expecting an OKC Boston final. Actually, I thought that would have been really good, but obviously it didn't happen. Any reaction from the trade deadline stuff now that we've had a week or two to let the dust settle? And I don't know why the NBA trade deadline doesn't do it this week instead of last week, and you get so much more buzz post Super Bowl than pre Super Bowl. But I don't know, Luka to the Lakers, Butler to the Warriors. Anything change your view on any of these teams?
Yeah, my view. While I don't think Golden State have a real future, especially not long term, I did find there was a little value in Golden State to make the playoffs. It's at -105. The biggest thing, or the most impactful thing that happens with Jimmy Butler coming over, is they're able to kind of give Steph the rest they needed. If you hear in any game prior to Jimmy Butler coming over, they would say something man, this team, they were only -3 or -4 during the non-Steph minutes. And you can't win like that when you're just banking on only being -3, only being -4 in the non-Steph minutes. They give them a legitimate scoring option when Steph goes to the bench. I think it helps too with a little bit more of a get Steph some help might be the words, but it's more of that leadership ability. Sure, Jimmy Butler has had his outs with every single team, but it feels like he's reinvigorated, right? Ready to come back. I don't think it's going to help them in the long term, right? To win a playoff series, I don't really know, but I think they can get to the 7 seed. I think that's probably their ceiling, win a play-in game, and then they made the playoffs.
What will you watch any of the All-Star Weekend? I mean, you're younger than me. It used to be awesome. These guys used to play. Used to know. It was just East versus West. You know who's on what team. The dunk contest it has gone downhill. You have any interest from a betting perspective, a fan perspective, or anything?
I wish the Greekity Freakity, Mr. Giannis Antetokounmpo, was playing, because I always like betting on him because he takes it so seriously. But he's not even going to be playing. I probably won't watch. Maybe I might. It's just so hard to get excited about betting it, because you, first of all, you don't know who's going to try, who's going to care. You don't know who's going to be putting up a lot of shots. It's the worst kind of exhibition. I get it, these players don't want to get hurt, but it's literally just Matador, and I don't know. It's not cool. If it just be basic East versus West, and I liked it when it was East versus West, they'd wear their own jerseys, their own home jerseys. That looked sick. it's the product's gone down, but almost every sport, the product of the All-Star game has gone down. Like the Pro Bowl is horrible. Dude, Pro Bowl is in my city. Literally, I could walk to the Pro Bowl.
Terrible.
I don't even go. Honestly, didn't even know when it was. Like, that's how bad these All-Star games are now.
Terrible. No, it's really bad. Last one, NBA. Any futures or awards? Any awards you think are worth betting at this point?
Man, it was tough. I was going to be on Team Jokic, but SGA just feels like he's kind of been unstoppable. I don't know. I think if you want to take a little bit of stab on some value, maybe you go Amen Thompson, most improved player. But it's going to be like Powell or Cunningham. I'm already on Norman Powell. I can't remember the price. I think it's like 6 or 8 to 1, something like that. Maybe 4 to 1. Now he's plus 130. I just don't see how Cunningham could be most improved, the number one overall pick. I don't like that. Maybe Tyler Hero, but Norman Powell is probably my favorite. But you can get some value on Amen Thompson if he just continues to. He's like over these last 3 weeks, he's seen his numbers increase. He's had a triple double in that time. I think he had 2 triple doubles in that time. So I think that 30-1 has a pretty good price.
Some football stuff. Are you as shocked as everybody at how easily Philly won, or did you think that there was a path for maybe Philly to dominate that game?
No, I don't know what happened. I don't really have like these big football takes where I'm pounding my chest. I was all over Philly. I literally made a video. And I try to make it a little clickbaity. And in my video, I said, I know who's gonna win the Super Bowl. And I talked about like the three reasons the Eagles are going to win the Super Bowl. Two out of the three basically happened. I thought that the Eagles would be able to attack that left side of the offensive line and get that pass rush home. They did a great job of doing that. To tie into that, I thought that secondary was going to make life tough with the pass rush happening. They did exactly that. Third, I added in Saquon Barkley would have a big game. He would will his team to victory. It was Jalen Hurts who was phenomenal. But I went on MGM and before the Super Bowl that Sunday before the Super Bowl, they were like, why are you so confident? I was like, they got to win one game, right? When you have a team that has so much talent and a good offensive line, but a lot of that talent's coming from the running back position, it makes life so much easier. The Chiefs sold out. They really sold out to stop Saquon Barkley. Great run defense. But it opened up some vulnerable spots for them, getting beat over the top, letting Jalen Hurts use his legs to extend the drive. I was really pro Eagles, but Will, I had been pro Eagles all season since the offseason. I had futures on Eagles any kind of way possible. And the only team I placed futures on, which was a weird, weird feeling.
We'll just go word association here. Quick reaction. What team is this, are these quarterbacks on next year? If any, Rodgers.
Raiders.
Ooh, okay. Stafford.
Rams.
Okay. Darnold.
Tennessee.
Okay. Cousins.
Oh, man. The Cousins one was hard for me because I've thought about Cousins. I think actually I was thinking about that yesterday. Like, who would want to take a shot on him at this point? You take a massive pay cut, right? Dude, I don't know, man. Who would want Cousins as a starting quarterback at this
would
time?
Cleveland pick him? Would Cleveland take him and draft a core? I mean, it's just that a game of musical sense. Chair. So, I mean, it's that's. I mean,
listen, even I think
saying that
pathway.
Depresses me. That's.
I think there's a pathway for the Browns to get him and then draft Jackson Dart in the second round, or trade back up into the first round and get Jackson Dart. Then you can sit Jackson Dart for a year or a couple of games, and have your bridge quarterback there.
Yeah. Any team, the odds have opened up for next year. Do you have a sleeper team? Do you buy? I mentioned San Francisco at 15-1. I know they're going to cut Debo, but if they're healthy, there's still a lot of talent. I couldn't argue. I saw Circa had Philly at plus 750. Boy, they're going to return a lot of the team. I know it's hard to repeat. Do you have a team in mind that you're looking to place futures on for next year, or is it too early?
No, it's not too early. But when I bet the Eagles to win the Super Bowl in the offseason, and I went on Bet the Edge and I was talking about it, my biggest reasoning was something along the lines of, you know, this team built a lot through the draft. They bring in Saquon Barkley. There's no way that they should have the 6th, 7th highest odds. They should be closer to the third or fourth. And I bet them. There's a team I think that has their odds are just way too like they should be higher, better odds than I think even the Bills. And for me, that's the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions were going to the Super Bowl. They just got bit with the injury bug that was they had injuries pile up so bad it was insurmountable. You know, Will, we know this. We've been in this industry for a long time. To win a championship at any level, you have to have a great deal of injury luck, right? Like, because injuries are going to happen, especially in football. But the Detroit Lions got it worse than anyone. If I want to go a little bit further down, and this is probably like the lowest I would go on the odds board, and that'd be the Washington Commanders. I think the Commanders, year two, Dan Quinn, that defense is going to get a little bit better. Year two, Jaden Daniels. Not that he didn't make any mistakes, really, but what I'm really excited for is to see what they do at the running back position through the draft and through the free agency. This team was a strong – if they were had a strong running back, no offense to B-Rob, right? But if they had a strong running back, how do you stop that team offensively? Because, look, it looks like Terry McLaurin was drinking out of the fountain of youth. They got a little bit of late season push from Brown. They'll probably pick up a tight end late in the draft, and there's some good tight ends in this class. I think that team's gonna be right there in it, like a team that can compete the entire season.
Any idea who goes first in the draft?
Oh man, so I took Travis Hunter, right, just because of that news. But dude, I wouldn't be shocked to see Abdul Carter go first.
Yeah, it's kind of feel like he's getting a lot of buzz. He's down under 2-1.
Yeah,
the term safest pick is getting thrown out there.
Yeah, and like Cam Ward, fun. Shedeur Sanders, fun. But I could be eating my words later. I don't think either of these quarterbacks are quarterbacks that you mortgage your future over. Especially, let's say you're let's go with the Cleveland Browns. Will they pick third? Let's say you're the Cleveland Browns. This is what I want us to go back to that dart statement. Why don't you just get a difference maker? Let's say two teams mortgage their futures and they go and grab Shedeur, Cam Ward, 1 and 2, no particular order. Now you can get an Abdul Carter or a Travis Hunter, and you're basically saying, let's beef up the defensive line because every Super Bowl champion had a good defensive line. And then let's go and swing back and let's not mortgage our future on a quarterback right away. We'll just get something that, like you said, a safe pick, someone who can make an impact right away. I think one of the winners of the drafts, though, honestly, is going to be whoever gets Michael Williams. Like that'll probably be like the sixth or seventh pick. It's going to be a team that's not horrible. It's going to make that defense a lot better.
All right, Brad, last one. We are between rounds now, recording this Thursday night. The Genesis, anything live, anything you would look to people that are listening to this early Friday or whatever? You know, Scheffler's the short shot, Rory 7-1, Denny McCarthy, first-round leaders 12-1. Anyone worth a flyer here?
You know, it's tough, right, because Scottie Scheffler's going to be hard to beat. So he went off the tournament at plus 450, went and hit 8 out of his 9 first screens in regulation, dropped all the way to plus 150. When you look at the prices, there's like a lot of people who I would just avoid like the plague, right? Like Wyndham Clark at 16-1. No. Seamus Power 22-1. No, I'd probably bet him at 50-1. If there was anybody on here that not named Scotty, not named Rory, I'd probably take a stab at Morikawa. So Morikawa plays a natural cut. He's a natural fader of the ball. It felt like 80% of the holes with the heavy wind today where it was left to right wind and his ball just kept getting gobbled up. He finished the round strong. Love finishing with a birdie there. It looked like he started to navigate the course a little bit better on the back nine too. We won't have the same weather. 20-1. He went off at 14-1. He does have some work to do to catch up, but that Denny McCarthy 4-under is not going to last, right? This is a tough course. And, you know, there was some rumblings that they were going to make it US Open like conditions, but then the weather was going to be bad. And so they made the green slower. It's going to rain this whole time, but as it gets more and more like wet and soggy, the premium is going to be hitting fairways, right? Hitting fairways as many as you can. Well, today, I don't think it was as penal as a lot of people thought. Well, now just keep adding in more rain, keep adding more growth to that rough. It's just going to get worse and worse and worse. And some of these guys like who aren't always hitting fairways, like Wyndham Clark, Davis Thompson. I'm just going off the list of guys here. You can kind of eliminate. But I think Colin Morikawa at 20-1, guy who hits a ton of fairways, had his worst round. You know, he's normally a fast starter. Let's see if he can kick it into gear.
Rad, appreciate the time, man. It was fun to catch up. BetUS, NBC Sports, where can everyone else find you?
You can find me those two. You can find me on MGM Network as well.
All right, Brad, appreciate the time, man. We'll do it again soon.
Thanks for having me.
All right, thanks to Brad Thomas. Enjoy the weekend. We'll be back Monday. Rate, review, subscribe. See you then.